Hey, good afternoon, good morning, and good evening. Welcome to Building Azure Apps Using the Common Data Service. My name is Mark Bacuri. I'm a PM on the CDS team. I'm joined here today by Ryan Jones. Ryan runs the team, incredibly knowledgeable. He and my colleague Jim, also super knowledgeable. Jim focuses on our pro dev story. Are both manning the lines here today, answering your questions with Ryan moderating the session. So really glad everyone could join us today. And thanks for joining us over Virtual Build. It's the first for all of us, but I think it's quite cool that we're bringing folks in across the world. Now, what are we going to talk about today? We're going to start off with, what is CDS? I know I was in the Azure world for a long time, and some folks are a little less familiar, but I think you're really going to like what you hear. And we'll start this talk, as I do a lot of my talks, with a story in just a minute. And then we're going to talk about how can you actually use it. And so whether it's importing data from what you're building today in Azure into CDS, whether you're using SQL DB or things like that. Also, how do you use CDS in your Azure apps? So you've got API integration, events integration, plugins and functions. We've been taking feedback from our MVPs, from folks on Twitter and on LinkedIn. This session is 50% demos, folks. So we're going to have lots of demos here to go through everything that folks have asked for and a little bit more. We'll cap off by talking about exporting data from CDS to Azure services, and then also talk about how you can go ahead and create reports with CDS data. But as I said, I'd like to start off most of my talks with a story. This is based on a true story related to last year's build and a project I worked on there that folks may remember. But it's based on a true story. We've made a couple minor tweaks. But basically what happened was my customer, my point of contact, was working with their leadership, and they said, hey, we've done it. As part of our digital transformation, we've built a system that digitally tracks our supply chain. And all you need to do is what they had told my counterpart is we'd like you to update our existing application. We want to enable a user to search for their product and then be able to see some details for that product journey. And so I said, hey, that's easy, right? Well, let's talk about that for a minute. So you have this existing application. You also have this source data. And so you start off like, okay, I need to put this data in a relational database I'm going to use for my app. And then I've got some files and some blobs and, you know, I've got images and things like that that I want to use for this. And then you start realizing, hey, you know, what I really want included in here for some of this lookup is relevant search. And so I want to have search and find data. And then you're like, you know what? These are all different APIs and I want to pull this into my app. I really want to go ahead and build this service that sits in front of them to build that out. And so then, you know, as with most projects, there's some late breaking requirements. And so you might say, hey, well, I want to be able to have some eventing in there too. So when something happens on the data side, as we sort of extend this scenario out, I might want to be able to connect with systems and services and SaaS based on when things happen. I'd also like to do some reporting. Hey, you know what? Can we get some of this data not just available for our mobile apps, but I'd like to get it in my data lake as well. And hey, you know what? I'd really like to do some AI. I'd love to run some ML models against that. And so me being formerly an Azure guy, although Azure is always a fan of mine and something we love doing with CDS here, but as someone who was in the Azure business, said, not a problem. We've got services for everything you need. And we do. We have great services, right? So I could do API apps. I could use SQL DB and Azure Storage and Azure Search, connected to Azure Data Factory, Azure Data Lake. So not a problem. We've got everything covered. But the feedback you hear in something like that is, yeah, but that's 10 services. And that means that I need to understand all their APIs, their pricing models, how they scale, how they handle security, how they work together, how to operate them. And plus, if I'm going to put these in an end-to-end app, I got to figure out how to do telemetry and error handling. That's going to span all of those things. So I love all the services. And there are certain times when I want to use all of them and I want to have super fine grain control and what have you. But a lot of times what I'd love is just, can I just have like a common data service that spans the things that I need that makes it really easy for me to use? Something kind of like this. When this is the common data service. And so if we look at that scenario beforehand, we have data flows that will help get the data into the common data service. I'll refer to that as CDS for the rest of the talk. You'll see SQL DB and Azure Storage and a managed Azure Data Lake and Azure Search. We also have some Cosmos DB in here we're using for logs and non-semi-structured data. And so the thing is you don't have to choose between CDS and the best Azure services for data, because we use all the best services for data and we provide that common interface for you, this common data service for you to go use. Now, what's great too is remember before we used to have logic apps up here, now I can go directly to Service Bus and that can be leveraged here because it's Service Bus, I can have guaranteed delivery and all the goodness that that brings. I also can connect up to Power BI. And so there's, if you go ahead and look at direct queries, we'll talk about in a minute, there's ways to get that in there. And I can also, we have a new TDS endpoint, so you can do queries against that that's in preview. And by the way, if you want to do ML, you know, we'll talk about in this talk how you can get it into Azure Data Lake Storage and do some great work there too. But if you wanted to do certain types of work, AI Builder already has models there and it'll work directly against CDS. And so you really have this opportunity to get exactly what you want. And if you look at this, this is now one service. You literally have the number of services you need to interact with, and you haven't really given up anything that you'd need for your application, right? So this is going to be something that when I saw what customers were doing with this, especially in conjunction with the Power Platform in Azure, and this is one of the reasons I came to the team. It really is a fantastic opportunity. And so if you were to describe it to someone else, you know, one of the things we talk about is it focuses on any type of data and any type of app. And so we talk about any type of data. You've got relational, you've got semi-structured, you've got files and images and blobs and that sort of thing. We really have, and we've got search and relevant search and things like that. So we really do have any type of data that you're looking for, and this is expanding over time. And then for any type of app. And so, you know, if you're building a Power app, that's great. We're going to have a world-class experience for you there. But as you see today, we're going to have great integration with apps regardless of where you run them. So you're writing a mobile app, a desktop app. You're writing an app that's going to be a service that's running behind the scenes. We've got great solutions and opportunities for all of them. And so you have this common data service that can be shared across all of these different application types that you're building. And because it is a common data service, you'd end up not having all these different islands of data. You can have data for your enterprise and shared data that's there as well. The other thing that I like to talk about is it's easy to use. And so it is incredibly easy, crazy easy to use CDS. And so what I mean by that is you've got an approach that, like the rest of the Power Platform, is focused on low and no code as an option for you to go ahead and get started. So you get great visual designers that are going to help you get started. You have the ability to integrate, as we saw. We can cut out the work we need to do for a number of services that way. It's also super metadata rich that enables a whole bunch of different scenarios that's available to you. It's also easy to operate. This is a SaaS offering, right? So what that means is behind the scenes is we manage it. You want point-in-time restores, disaster recovery. We're going to handle all that for you as part of the service. And again, you get that one service that does everything for those services that we talked about. So it really provides you not something that's just easy to use in any app, but also easy to operate. And the best thing is it's built on Azure, running in Azure data centers. So you're getting all the security that you know and love from Microsoft in the data centers and built on the services that you already know and trust. We're just making it easier for you for a lot of your applications you're building and putting them all into one service. So let's start off with how do you import data from Azure to CDS? And so we have data flows and Power Query using the same technology under the covers. Makes it really easy for you to use any of these sources that we have here, these connectors that they have available to you, to bring data into the platform. So whether you're doing on-premises or other types of data, you're going to be able to bring that in pretty easily. And then what I haven't talked about yet is Azure Data Lake Storage we've got a managed lake, so we can publish data directly from CDS out to that as well. We also have a data flow editor. You can go ahead and determine how frequently you want this to come in. So lots of options that are there. We also have Azure Data Factory. We're going to talk about that today. And so Azure Data Factory has lots of great opportunities. You've got a number of different sources and targets that are there. You've got pipelines, data sets, and data flow concepts that we'll work through. And then, as I talked about earlier, CDS can automatically publish out to Azure Data Lake. Now, logic apps in Power Automate are a little bit different. So if I think about how I typically use those technologies I just mentioned, I'm taking data in. I'm usually doing like a bulk import of data. But what if I want to do something when something changes? Maybe something has happened in a SQL database, or maybe something has been updated in Salesforce or Adobe or SAP, those sorts of things. There's going to be connectors for me in logic apps in Power Automate. There's over 200 of them, 35 of those tied to just Azure services. Then you've got SQL, Postgres, MySQL, et cetera. And then you can also add custom connectors in here as well. So you can go ahead and pull in services, functions. We'll demo, talk about functions a little bit, as well as being able to connect up with things that are running in IaaS with Azure Kubernetes services. So really lots of different ways to get data in. We'll talk about that more in this next section, which is using CDS data in Azure apps. So we have an OData API. It's everything we have in CDS is API first. It creates APIs that expose metadata as well. So business rules, constraints, et cetera, to build intelligent and responsive applications. And it's AAD secured. And we'll look at that a little bit in some of the demos we're going to show you. Again, we're getting close to the demo portion. We're going to go pretty heavy for a solid 14 minutes of demos. Okay, so one of the things that we want to talk about with CDS is this notion of plugins. And so think about it this way. We've got code. This is code you've written in C# that's registered at points in the event pipeline. So you can see I've got a request that comes in. I've got validation handlers, my transaction start, so I can have things that happen beforehand. I've got the actual database operation. I've got post operation handlers. Here I can modify responses. Here I can modify my requests. I've got my API response, and I've got my async handlers that can perform automation after the response is returned. So I have a lot of great things where I can plug my code in directly in here. We'll talk about a little bit in a moment, but there's some really interesting things you can do here. So you can make sure that regardless of who's calling your application, that the logic is consistent and executed the same way, regardless of who's making those calls. Now, plugins are pretty interesting. So you can return errors to the user. You can query CDS data to evaluate the logic to perform. You can perform data operations. You can also perform outbound HTTP requests. So we also have support for using events. So Event Hub, Service Bus, Logic Apps, Power Automate, and webhooks. We'll talk a little bit about some of those in our demo. And then we also have the ability to use Azure Functions. So one thing we'll leave you with before we get into the demo is talking about when do you use each of those. So if you're using a plugin, it can be synchronous or async. Functions are only async. If you need to use multiple references to multiple libraries as opposed to standalone code, that's another reason why you want to go ahead and use a function. So now we're going to go ahead and look at a number of demos. We've got four that we've got here for you. Let's go ahead and take a look.
Now, what you can see here is Azure Data Factory, and I've authored a pipeline that is going to copy data from Azure SQL DB into the Common Data Service. Now, to do this, I had to set up two data sets first. So let's take a look at these. So here I've created a data set for CDS Azure integration. That's what I call that. And you can see here that I've got a connection that's set up. So let's go ahead and open that connection. And you can see here that I've identified the service URI. This is available to you if you look in the settings inside of your CDS environment. Here I used Office 365 authentication. Typically what you're going to want to do is use an AAD service principle. I've entered in my details here. This is just for testing. And we're good to go. We can click test connection and see that we're good. Go ahead and click cancel. Now I can, once I've set that connection up, I can specify for my data set which entity I want to choose. Here I've chosen a shipping company, but I've got multiple that are available to me within there. And then on Azure SQL DB, I've gone ahead and created a data source as well. You can see here there's the connection, and I've used SQL authentication. I've used the username and password I've created. One quick thing to remember here is on SQL DB, just make sure you've set up your firewall settings on your servers. You can enable access for Microsoft services. So now I've gone ahead and specified the shippers table here, shippers 2. And then going ahead and getting that data over here is actually pretty simple. I'm going to come over here. I'm going to add a new copy data item here from Move and Transform. And you're going to be able to see here that the source is going to be my Azure SQL DB source. I'm specifying a table as an input here. I also could have used a query or stored proc. I can preview my data here to see what's going to come across. You can see here I've got a shipper ID, a row GUID, shipper name, and phone number. And then on the sync, we're going to go ahead and use our CDS instance here. We're going to do an upsert, which will update or insert the data that's here. And I'm going to go ahead and do a mapping. Now in this mapping, I've already got it set up. And so I've got the row GUID is going to the shipping company ID, which is a GUID that's created for me automatically inside of CDS. And then the shipper name is going to map to the name that I've specified over here. So I've got a mapping of the two key fields that I care about over here. And then if I want to, I can go ahead and click debug. It's deploying them. It's now going to go ahead and run them for me. You can see now that it's queued. It's in progress. And it succeeded. So you can see here, it's very easy to go ahead and bring data from SQL into CDS. And of course, you can use all the other goodness that comes with Azure Data Factory. But if you just want to get data from SQL into CDS, super simple. Logic Apps and Power Automate can be used to integrate multiple different types of systems. They have over 200 connectors with the Common Data Service. In this case, we're going to use a mixture of Logic Apps and IoT Central to update our database. In this case, we have a shipping container that contains ice cream. We want to monitor that to make sure that it meets a minimum and maximum temperature. And if it goes beyond that maximum temperature, we want to go ahead and get a notification. So we have a shipment entity inside of CDS. And what we've done is within IoT Central, we've created this device based on the templates available, and we've made it a simulated device. And the simulated device is going to go ahead and create sensor information as we come through here. You can see that we've got some pressure information, but we also have that temperature information as it's also being reflected over here. Now, what we've done is after we've created this device, we created a rule. Now, this rule is going to say that if the temperature is greater than 10, it's going to go ahead and send a notification. And in this case, it'll run a logic app. And as you can see here, this is a set of logic that's being set up for when this rule occurs. So we're checking to see when this application that I set up, which was Cold Storage Monitor, hits this rule, go ahead and execute this logic. Now it's going to return some JSON, and in that JSON has a number of values. We care about three of them. We want to get the timestamp, we want to get the device ID, and we want to get the temperature that comes across. And so what we'll do then is we'll then go ahead and get any records from our shipments where that device, IoT device, and this is the logical name you'll find in CDS, equals the device ID that's coming in from IoT Central. And then once we have that, we're going to go ahead and use the connector for CDS to update a record. And here we're going to provide in the global shipping identification number and the shipment detail. That's all available here. See how it's in this sort of pink color? This means it's coming from this previous stuff, the list record. So it's already been retrieved for us. And then what we're going to do is we're going to set the shipping status to out of compliance. So what's happened is our device in IoT Central has identified what the temperature is. That temperature is above 10, which is going to be sort of our standard for determining if there's an issue. That's going to come back and flag as out of compliance. And then it's going to go ahead and update our shipment information located over here in Power Apps. Now you can see here that my device right now is listed as 1XH8 and the shipping status is in transit. We'll go ahead and run this logic app now and we'll see that it's all coming through the way that we would expect. I'm now going to go ahead and refresh data. And we can see now that it shifted to out of compliance. So we've successfully used our logic app to trigger based on IoT Central to go ahead and update the associated record inside of CDS with that status of out of compliance. One of the scenarios we talked about is the ability to bring CDS data into a new or an existing application. So bringing it to an existing application is relatively straightforward using the OData API from CDS. Now, prior to coming into Visual Studio Code, we've set up an Azure AD app, and we're going to reference that inside of this application as we go. But let's talk about what we've modified in this app. So this app is the Blazor server template. So we've modified this. If this format looks familiar, that would be why. And lots of great sessions on Blazor here this week. Now, what I do want to show you here is some changes we've made. Because we're using Azure AD, we're going to go ahead and add authentication here. We're going to read in our config info for the CDS Web API. And then we're also going to add the HTTP client CDS here under services and have that all teed up for us for OData. Great. And so now we've got everything we need in startup set up. Now let's move over to data. And so data, we left the initial functions in here, which were tied for weather forecasting, and we added one more, which is for our Web API service. So we're extending an application like we talked about at the beginning of the session. Now, when I come in here, you're going to see a couple of functions. One of these is going to be get, which is going to execute a query and return back details that will be showing in our Razor page. And for that, we're going to pass in our Azure AD object, and we're also going to pass in an OData query. We'll see more on that in just a minute. Now, you're also going to find in here a method called get access token. And here we're going to go out and retrieve the token that we're going to use in our calls. Great. So now we've got these supporting functions that are there. Let's look how we use it in this page. So if you open up shipments, you may recall there used to be a fetch data page. And so what we've done is we've added a shipments page that is based on that. Relatively simple and straightforward in terms of what we're going to see. And again, we'll run this in just a moment. You can see here that we added a reference to our data class that we just viewed. We've got a reference to Newtonsoft JSON link. We've also added in our Web API service as a service. We're also adding Microsoft ASP.NET Core Components authorization, and we're also adding in the authentication state provider. Now, we'll come back here in a moment, but first let's look at the code that's executing when we kick off here. So you can see here on initialized async what's happening. So we're starting up this page, it's initializing. I'm going to go out and call this function getUserAObject, which is going to be my Azure Active Directory object. And then I'm going to call that service that we saw a moment ago. UserAObject ID is being passed in. And then you see this set of strings here. And so these are what we call the logical names for our fields and for our entities inside of CDS. And so I'm pulling back the shipments entity and I'm selecting these values. I'm bringing back the shipper, the recipient, the initial shipping company, the minimum temperature, the maximum temperature, and the shipping status. Great. And we see here it says underscore value. You might say, hey, Mark, why is it only underscore value there? Because in CDS, these are fields that are called lookups. And so lookups are effectively what you might have in a relational database like SQL as another table with you've got a foreign key that's attached to that. By underscoring value, you're going to get the actual value as opposed to the key for that information. Great. And here's our call. It's going to go ahead and pull back the Azure object. So now I go ahead and get this information back. And when the page is rendered, what we're going to do is take those values and we're building a table on the fly here. And we're going to go ahead and populate those values into the table. You can see here I'm being asked to log in. I'm going to log in with my ID for that environment. Signed in. Great. Now what you can see is this is the Blazor app, the default server app. And you can see that I'm logged in here. One of the things you'll see is where it normally says fetch data, it now says shipments. Let's go ahead and click on that. Now you can see it's pulled back all the information from my shipments entity. As we just mentioned, CDS has the ability to publish to Service Bus, and that can enable integration with Azure Functions. Here we're going to show you an interesting sample that uses that capability. First, we're just going to show you that there is a service endpoint registration where we're registering the Service Bus namespace address. The next thing you're going to do is configure the system so that when there is a create message called against the shipment journey segment entity, so think of that like a table, when that gets called, it's going to go ahead and post a message out onto the service bus that we've configured. Now, what we have on that service bus is a function monitoring that. So that function is called service bus QTrigger1. So when that message comes in, what'll happen is we've got code here that will parse it. We're going to identify the last recorded temperature, the shipment journey segment ID. Now, a shipment journey segment, if you think about any time you've ordered a package and you've tracked to see where it was, it doesn't usually go from point A to point B. There's four or five steps that are in there. We're calling those journey segments. And so it's getting the one that's just been added. It's finding out some details about it. It's then going, looking at it for the shipment it's attached to. What are the maximum minimum temperatures? These are frozen goods. In this case, it's ice cream that we're shipping. So we want to understand what's the maximum minimum temperatures. Then we're going to compare the temperature that we just received as part of this most recent segment, because we've got an IoT device monitoring that, and see if it's greater than the max temperature. If it is, then we've got a problem and we need to give somebody a call. And so when we say we need to give someone a call, we're going to use a service called Twilio. And so Twilio will allow us to go ahead and send out a voice response message to someone. In this case, you can see that we're gonna say that your shipment of ice cream by shipper name, this is all dynamic, is likely melting and no longer in a sellable condition. We'll hear more when we get the alert that's there. And you can see here, we've got some functions that are gonna go ahead and get our token, as well as go ahead and send out that request. Now, what's gonna happen is that'll make a phone call. We'll see that in just a moment. And then we'll get a response from that phone call. And that response is going to come back to this other function, which is basically a webhook for Twilio. It's going to go ahead and parse what came back in. Did the user press 1, 2, or 3? So if the goods are bad, now ice cream can melt and refreeze and make you really sick. And so you might say, hey, just return that product. Or you know what, go ahead and destroy the product. It may cost too much money to send it back. Or you know what, go ahead and deliver the product. It turns out it was a faulty sensor and we're all good. Once we've done that, we're going to go ahead and update the shipment, and we're going to make sure that we update it with the right response from that user, and then we'll see it reflected back here in CDS. And so here we're going to update this record here, which is NME 569, and you'll see right now it says in transit. In just a moment, we'll go ahead and update this, and it will change to destroy product. Here I am. I've got my phone on screen. I'm expect a call, and there it is, just like clockwork.
Device cream handled by Tailspin Air Transport is likely melting and no longer in a sellable condition. To have the shipper return the product, please press 1. To have the shipper destroy the product, please press 2. To override.
Okay. So we've just hit 2. In just a moment, this is going to go ahead and say destroy product. So what did you just see? You saw CDS integration where it published an event to a service bus. You had a function that was monitoring that event, processing it, evaluating it, and interacting with CDS to get some additional data, and realizing, hey, the temperature on that was outside of what was agreed to. I need to make a phone call. Used Twilio to give me a call, asked me what I wanted to do. I pressed 2, said destroy the product. It sent the message back, got picked up, sent into CDS, and we sort of had round trip integration there. Also integrating voice is sort of a fun bonus.
Great, so that was a demo-palooza. Let's wrap up. We'll talk about how to export data, reporting, and then we'll get to your questions. Okay. So for exporting out, you've got a number of the options we looked at previously. We also have data export service. So this is something that's available to you if you're using CDS, you also happen to be a Dynamics customer today. Now, in terms of creating reports with CDS data, you've got a few options here. CDS out of the box has the ability to do great stuff with charts. Another thing that I didn't show you in that box where it's this common data service, we do paginated reports. So if you've used SQL Server reporting services, we've got that in the box as well. Then we also have support for Power BI. So Power BI, folks are probably familiar with DirectQuery. You can use common data service as an import. The team just recently released at MBAS a preview that allows you to use TDS. You can pull that into whether it's Power BI, also SQL Server Management Studio. So quite cool here. And then also Power BI embedded available through Azure service works great and works great with RLS. So you can do some really cool security scenarios. So now, finally, if you wanted to do a more advanced scenario, we do, as we talked about, have the ability to get into Azure Data Lake storage. We have a managed lake offering as part of the service. And you can use ADF with Databricks, pull it into your SQL data warehouse, then use Power BI. Now, keep in mind, you may be integrating data from other services and sources that are here, which is one of the reasons why you might use Power BI in that configuration. So as we wrap up, we're going to start taking some questions. But just so everyone is on the same page, what we just saw today, we talked about a CDS design to support all your data and all your apps, easy to use, support, and secure. On-prem, IaaS, PaaS, SaaS, lots of great ways to integrate and visualize your data. So Ryan, how are we doing for questions? Anything interesting from the crowd today?
Thanks so much, Mark. We got some great questions. So Noel asks, currently I use my APIs or Azure functions for my app. Does this mean CDS would replace those? Well, CDS, anytime you define an entity, it automatically scaffolds an API over the top of those entities that you define in CDS. But then from there, you don't necessarily have to replace your existing APIs. Your APIs can sit over the top of CDS. CDS can call your APIs, and same thing with functions. Functions can call CDS, or CDS can call functions, exactly like we did in the ice cream melting demo that Mark showed earlier. Another great question that we heard is, hey, is it possible to import SAP ERP data into CDS? And the answer is yes. You could do that through either Azure Data Factory, or you could do that through data flows. Another great question from Tobias is, CDS and Power Apps a great way to author CDM models into Azure Data Lake Gen 2. The thing is, the data that we define in CDS through our export plate capabilities can be placed into Azure Data Lake very easily, and it will auto-generate the model.json for that data for you. However, I don't know if I would go through the process of onboarding to CDS, even though CDS is awesome just for that particular capability. How is performance from Jerome handled with the new DirectQuery? Is it active, passive, or what's going on there? Are we using DES? So we have capabilities within the service where we have our own endpoint based on the size of the environment, number of users, so on and so forth, we determine whether or not we handle that through active or passive. So anyway, that wraps up our questions for today. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Hope you have a great rest of your time at Build. Take care.
Bye. Thanks, everybody.